four people had been arrested.
A U.S. missionary couple and a Haitian man were killed by a gang in Port-au-Prince. People are waiting for the arrival of a police force from Kenya to help battle the deadly gang violence there. Kenyan President William Ruto.
The requirements of the court has been met. The court wanted an agreement between the government of Kenya and the government in Haiti.
There's more fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic. CBS's Natalie Brand.
The COVID pandemic also caused a rare condition to surge and led to the deaths of nine people. Researchers with the University of Leeds say COVID can trigger MDA5 disease, a condition which causes the immune system to attack itself. Now that the connection has been identified, doctors should be able to more accurately diagnose the rare disease.
The nation's longest-serving flight attendant, Betty Nash, has died at the age of 88 after a battle with cancer. She told CBS News in 2017, "The people are exactly the same. Everybody needs a little love." American Airlines, paying tribute to her, says, "Fly high, Betty." This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, "Hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation?" So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, sunshine, low 70s and a bit breezy out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 51. Showers on Sunday, could be some heavy rain with highs in the mid-60s. It'll be blustery. For Sunday night, showers in 49. For Memorial Day, partly sunny and a high of 67.
It's 73 at our studios.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Enjoy the holiday. On Tuesday's show, Johnny's back, and we'll feature Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press Gazette, Malane Wells from WFRV-TV, plus we'll be talking the Green Bay Rockers. See you then.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. Folks, today's show is a real treat. I have as a guest, Evan Goyke. He is the young 41-year-old millennial who is just won the city of Milwaukee city attorney office by 63% of the vote. And I thought it would be very unique and timely to talk to Evan about the city of Milwaukee. It is, after all, the biggest city in the state of Wisconsin. And if the state is going to go forward, and you folks know I always like talking about keeping Wisconsin going forward, we have a millennial firmly in charge of the city attorney's office of the largest city in the state. And I thought it would be just timely to get into it. So, Evan, welcome. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Thank you for repeatedly referring to me as both young and or a millennial. I will take both of those all night long.
Well, I think you are, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's factual, but just barely, man. We are right at the cusp of both of those words being wrong, but that's okay.
From my vantage point, I'm really excited and encouraged. Before we jump into sort of your vision of what the office is and where it's going to go, you just got elected to a 4-year term, and I've got to be thinking that, this is not something that you're going to jump out of really quickly and or it's going to take you somewhere else, but it's definitely going to be part of the leadership of the state. And as we look forward to the future, it's really, really important to get there. So how did you end up getting here? Let's go. What's your background? Where'd you grow up? Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
I was born in Neenah in the Fox Valley. First year or two of my life was in Oshkosh. And 3 weeks before I was born, back in November of 1982, since you did already out me as a 41-year-old proud millennial. So a couple weeks before I was born, my father, Gary, lost his final election in the state Senate and became a lobbyist. And he represented Oshkosh. And that's where he was from. My mom's from a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. And moved to Madison. So most of my upbringing, elementary, middle, high school was in Madison. Went away to Minnesota for college, realized the error of my ways, came home to go to Marquette Law School from 2006 to 2009. And my first, I hung a shingle for a little while, graduating in the middle of the recession, but then landed in the state public defender's office in Milwaukee County. I represented adults charged with all levels of criminal infractions that could not afford their own lawyer. And then a few years later ran for the state legislature and represented about 55,000 people on the north side, west side of the city of Milwaukee in Madison in the state assembly. And then you mentioned this current job, just got elected and sworn in on April 16 to be Milwaukee's city attorney. That is a law firm of about 40 lawyers and 20 support staff, largest municipality in the state. So largest municipal law firm in the state. And we handle a whole wide range of legal issues for the city. And I like to think of that role much as you introed it, Mark. We have some core responsibilities, but we really are part of the leadership of the city, both guiding the mayor, the city council, and the departments as they affect public policy changes and work for the residents of the city.
Full disclosure, folks, I'm a Marquette Law alum too. So I put a lot of weight on that diploma, and we do compete with lawyers from all over the country, but we fly the Marquette Law flag proudly. So just letting you know my bias there, folks. But let's get into what made you think about running for the office? What were the issues that moved you to run? And how did you go about putting together the campaign where you end up getting 63% of the vote against an incumbent, which is quite remarkable, frankly?
Well, thank you. So let me zoom out for a minute and then I'll zoom back into Milwaukee. And just so that, we have listeners from all over the state, love the statewide reach of civic media. every municipality has legal representation. Some are, for the smaller municipalities, hire counsel. Some have a mayoral appointment. Some, like Milwaukee, elect their city attorneys. So we've been doing it since 1846. That's how we wrote it in our city charter, and that's how we're still doing it today. So our city attorney is elected in April in a nonpartisan four-year term alongside with the city council, mayor, and some of the other citywide positions. My introduction to the office, like when I was in law school, so you talked, Mark, about how special a Marquette Law School education is, and part of the reason we are the best law school in the state of Wisconsin is that they push the law students out into the community, into law firms, into court, into real world experience. So I was aware of the city attorney's office as a law student. And that was like the pinnacle of public service. That was decent salary, good quality of life, good, wide diversity of cases that you got to work on. So I had some friends that worked there and kind of paid vague attention to it. But where it started to hit me, where I started to pay direct attention to it is a couple of the assistant city attorneys were really active in my neighborhood. I live on the near west side or near north side of the city of Milwaukee. We had a business that was creating an opportunity for criminal action. So the police were called repeatedly, became kind of a magnet for criminal activity. It was a store that only sold tobacco products and vape products. And I went as a local resident and a state representative to a bunch of meetings, and I met these lawyers trying to listen to what we were doing and effectuate change by holding this business accountable. And they had some speed bumps in state law, which is where I kind of raised my hand to say, hey, I'm a state representative, let's work on this. We did. We forged some relationships there. But that introduction, Mark, was so cool because you had people using their legal skills and training trying to creatively problem solve to address a quality of life issue for residents. And I thought, man, that is like, I want to be a part of that in some way. And so I worked with them in my legislative capacity. I always kind of kept an eye on the office. I knew the lawyers there. I knew some of their the higher ranking officials there. And then an opportunity came this past year in 2024, 2023 to begin running. So how do you win 63% of the vote, 40 some thousand votes? You talk about those issues that I just addressed, which are quality of life issues for real people. The first half of running for city attorney is explaining what the city attorney does, why they should be paying attention, and why it matters. So that those kind of quality of life, public safety, real world issues. And then the second part is you build a wide and diverse coalition of supporters. That's through, raising money, endorsements, getting the word out. You got to, in Milwaukee, you got to win on the south side, the north side, the east side, the west side, right? You put the map up and you can't lose too bad anywhere. And that's what we did to win a majority. I'm proud of the, almost 64% that we received.
So when you went around the city and you talked about what does the city attorney do, did you talk about what your predecessors did, or did you talk about what you wanted to do?
It was more of column B than column A. However, the recent history with our city attorneys, the two most recent, you had a narrative where that type of proactive community work was done, in 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then it fell off the wayside and really was not done. And actually, here I am. I'm a month in, and we haven't stood back up that community-facing work. We've got some other issues to attend to that are more urgent. But for a couple of years, that really went away. And there were staffing issues or, ideological decisions about why that was the case. So what I did is I did share my vision, and I used this narrative of how it had worked and what that value add proposition was when community facing city attorneys were out there. And then, what happened when it went away.
So folks, I'm here with the new city attorney of Milwaukee, the largest city in the state. The decisions made in that office will impact our lives all over the state. And we're right here at the beginning of the Goyke era. And so we're talking a little bit about how he got into it. We got, you know, three segments to talk. How do you want to frame our conversation? Because I have a bunch of questions, but I, you know, this is your first shot. How would you?
Yeah, like- I mean, I figured that you would be prepared for a cross examination, Mark. You are trained and good at those, so I'll leave it to you as a host. But I think what I hope the listeners take away is, you know, we're going to talk about some Milwaukee specifics, and there are issues that are at maybe a volume or at a degree that are unique to Milwaukee and Wisconsin. But one of the things that I have loved in my first month on the job is there is a network of municipal lawyers doing this same type of work all across the state, some public, some private, you know, some mix. And so to every listener, hang in there with us as we talk about Milwaukee and Mark cross-examines me for the next little while. But remember, if you're in a small town in central Wisconsin, some of these same issues are playing out in your local government. They may be a little different, but a lot of it is the same. So, I mean, I think that's great too, right? I mean, I love shedding light on the behind the scenes, people that make local government and local communities happen.
Folks, this is Mark Thompson, attorney. This is your Paul Revere show. I'm proud to have Evan Goyke, the new city attorney of Milwaukee. We're going to come back and talk more in detail about what is it that needs to be done in the city and the state.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Doorworks of Wisconsin Rapids would like to take a moment to remember all of our military veterans that gave the ultimate sacrifice. This Memorial Day, veterans can enjoy a 5% discount on all sales and service from Doorworks, your one-stop shop for all doors and service.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here today with the new city attorney of Milwaukee, Evan Goyke. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
You bet. You know, we were talking about the issues that you face as a new city attorney, and I think you used the word the breadth of the issues. Give us a feeling. What does that mean, the breadth of the issues?
Yeah, so we handle, you know, something as small as a municipal citation for speeding, you know, relatively straightforward, you know, some money on the line, some points on your driver's license, but, you know, relatively simple. People can kind of understand that. And, you know, we go all the way up. We advise the mayor and the city council. We kind of we advise and staff boards that make decisions on issues like zoning or licensing. So you have, you know, developers or tavern owners or, you know, store owners, and then you know, we have an entire arm that deals with incidents when the city is sued, and you know, an injured party is seeking recovery from largely something that happened with a city worker or somebody working in the city capacity. That could be a car accident involving a snowplow, or you know, cases involving our police department. And I'm, you know, there's a lot in between those layers, but you know, anything from a multi-million dollar federal lawsuit to a $125 speeding ticket. And so there's this huge breadth of issues that come up, and, you know, given Milwaukee's size, the size of, and the power of our office, or I shouldn't say the power, the responsibility of our law firm, we really handle, you know, this huge diversity and breadth of issues. And it makes it really exciting. I think it's an incredible place to practice law because no 2 days are the same. I mean, the issues are always coming up and novel and you know, this cutting edge of municipal law in the state.
So let's just jump in at a couple of those. You know, as an economic force, you mentioned that you have zoning licenses. And I know as you are active as a rep and you're still serving out your term in right. the assembly, jobs, future jobs, the economy is central for the success of us going forward, right?
Yeah, I mean, to zoom out and some of those macro level issues that you're talking about, Mark, I think I still serve in the legislature, as you mentioned, and I used to serve on the budget committee. And during this last budget, about a year ago, I would say every single meeting when we started debating issues, I would say, and this is true, that we experienced the slowest growth decade in the history of the state of Wisconsin. From 2010 to 2020, we had about 3.5% population growth. And that's the slowest growth decade ever. And it signals real challenges when we slow down. And it's not equal among every area of the state. You have some fast growing clusters like Madison and Dane County, the I-94 corridor, you know, east of Minneapolis, St. Paul, parts of the Fox Valley. And then you have, you know, slower growth or shrinking places like the Wisconsin River Valley, you know, parts of northern Wisconsin and parts of the city of Milwaukee. And that presents, like, if you want my view of what are some of the, you know, issues for our state to contend with in the next decade, it's how do we grow? And how do we grow internally? How do we attract new people to come here, to stay here? And part of the issues like zoning and licensed businesses and public safety, that this is a serious issue for the city. The city's got to grow. You know, the mayor talks about that. The city attorney's office will be in direct, you know, directly working on this. And it's not just downtown. Downtown can't be the only solution. That's true for Madison as it is for Milwaukee. So we're really talking about solutions to add affordable housing in downtown, but also in neighborhoods throughout the city. And that is a key. That's a real key statewide issue. And if Milwaukee can grow, that does have, I mean, proportionately, as you're talking about the biggest city in the state, we grow by 10%. That pushes the entire state up and everybody benefits.
So specifically, how do you see your four-year term immediately playing a role in moving the economy and growing the city, the state? And I'd add let me throw one other thing in there. You have to have a well-educated group of people. Right. I mean, NVIDIA just had their earnings report. Right. They're the makers of the chips for artificial intelligence. I mean, they're like booming. So how do we grasp that? And how does the city attorney play in that arena?
Yeah, I mean, it's I am not a policymaker directly. I don't, you know, say tomorrow I want to make affordable housing the number one issue. But I don't have to, because the mayor has already said that's a big issue. The city council is already saying that that's a big issue. So when they agree on something like that, they then turn to members of the cabinet and to different department heads, including me, to say, make it happen. And so our job and how I see my role is making sure that the city of Milwaukee is on the forefront of increasing the availability of affordable housing. So that's one. Increase supply. Make it more accessible and make more units available and affordable. The second part of the housing equation for me directly is we are the enforcement arm of quality, of habitability. So when the city of Milwaukee is inspecting rental properties and they are not up to code, and that could be, you know, issues of, you know, a porch, a roof, siding, all the way to electrical, heat, water, et cetera, that we hold those people accountable. So it's access to affordable housing. But I don't want listeners to think that if we have a bunch of ribbon cuttings for new buildings, that solves all of the problem, because there's also an issue with our existing and often aging housing stock being properly invested in, so that people that are living and renting in those units have quality, that they're getting quality for their money. And we're directly involved. We are the enforcement arm of those actions. So I see us being, you know, especially in this population growth discussion that we're having, we're intimately involved.
So I read in the paper the Milwaukee Housing Authority has issues. What role does the city attorney have with that entity?
Yeah, we are their lawyer. We are one of their lawyers, I should say. So the Housing Authority.
You see, I think that's a great point, right? You're the lawyer for all the citizens. And if you have a housing authority that's just part of the citizens and that's botching it, right? How do you play in? So
well,
I want you to think about
it. We can cover it.
I want you to think about that, because we're going to be back with Evan Goyke for more on what city attorneys can do to make our lives better and help Wisconsin move forward.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Brief. It is Memorial Day weekend as the nation honors troops who died in service. But tens of millions are hitting the road and flying the friendly skies for the long weekend. Airports are packed, but CBS's Chris Van Cleve says workers are ready.
At the FAA's Operations Center outside Washington, it's all hands on deck this weekend as teams monitor the tens of thousands of flights each day and a forecast that includes potentially disruptive weather this weekend.
That weather could be dangerous in some areas, and there could be tornadoes. The Weather Channel's Kelly Cass.
There could be some huge hail coming out of these storms, and the damaging winds could be in excess of 70, 75 miles per hour.
President Biden at West Point's commencement ceremony touting U.S. support for its allies.
There are no American soldiers at war in Ukraine. I'm determined to keep it that way. But we are standing strong with Ukraine, and we will stand with them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Fenway Park, where the Brewers are playing the Red Sox in game two of their three-game weekend series. The Brewers winning last night 7-2. And we found out an interesting story today. Last night, Jared Koenig, left-hander for the Brewers, was the starter, but only lasted until early in the second inning. It turns out that was the strategy. Now, he was replaced by Bryce Wilson, who went five innings, held the Red Sox at just a couple of runs. But Koenig, as a lefty, was able to face the start of the Red Sox lineup, which featured three out of four left-handed batters.
Yeah, I mean, first three out of four guys are left-handed, and I mean, we got three left-handers in the bullpen. I can come out and do that and at least get through those guys and then have the starter come in and face them. They only got to face them twice before they get to the third time. And really,
so lefty Jared Kenick getting the start again today. Up next, the Brewers are back home in Milwaukee on Monday to kick off a four-game series at home against their division rival, the Chicago Cubs. From Fenway Park in Boston, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, sunshine, low 70s, and a bit breezy out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 51. Showers on Sunday, could be some heavy rain with highs in the mid-60s. It'll be blustery. For Sunday night, showers and 49. For Memorial Day, partly sunny and a high of 67.
It's 73 at our studios.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
This Memorial Day, Johnson & Sons Jeep Chrysler Dodge wants to celebrate our veterans. Thank you for your service and sacrifice. Johnson & Sons Jeep Chrysler Dodge dealership is a dealership that cares about the Wisconsin Rapids community.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you harassed
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM Civic Media statewide. We are here with the new City of Milwaukee City Attorney, Evan Goyke. And we're getting the view of the future from the millennials, the future of our state. So, Evan, we were talking about a city attorney in terms of who they represent and who they're the lawyers for. And we're talking about it in the context of the Housing Authority. And that the Milwaukee Housing Authority is one of your, in quotes, clients.
Right.
And a lot of the residents that live there are also potentially, they're clearly voters. And the city attorney represents all the voters. So how do you play that out? Okay. You know, how does the city attorney do what's best for citizens when maybe one of its actors are not living up to their expectations?
Well, it gets even more complicated because we're also the lawyers to the city council or to the an enforcement department that may want to do something against the other. So we have some elaborate screening in our office to make sure one lawyer is cordoned off and not communicating with another because they represent two sides of the same coin.
No, but that's, you know, that's a simple. No, this, that's,
yeah, yeah, yeah. To your point, Mark, let me start by saying, and I think you may agree with me, it's frequent that lawyers are called in when things are not going right. So, you know, I wish that it was more good news, but sometimes the lawyer's job is to provide the truth, even if it's a difficult truth. So our job in that capacity is to ensure our client isn't compliant with the law, and that they are not, you know, violating the law, that they are not exposing the city or themselves to liability. In the case of the Housing Authority, I'm meeting with some advocates coming up, of course, meeting with them, the Housing Authority as well. And I, you know, a lot of what governs their operation is federal law, some is state, much less local. And so, you know, I think our role is to make sure that our client is aware of what's going on, that they don't miss the forest for the trees, and that they do not only what's legal, but what's right. And there's conflict sometimes in that, right? I mean, that you know, lawyers can't be afraid to wade into difficult meetings just because they don't want to make someone happy. That's kind of the job. Sometimes we're called in to do that, as I think you have experienced in your career.
That comes with the turf. So we've talked about how the city attorney can have an impact on housing decisions and growth. I know that the city attorney is called in often in terms of the schools.
Right.
And
right.
How do you see the city attorney's role in, you know, 4 years, education, public education broadly? In other words, what opportunities do you see there more than just representing an individual or an individual school or an individual principal in a, you know, with an individual complaint?
We do provide legal counsel to the school board and to MPS in some capacities. It is really in that, more often than not, it's in that individual employee kind of mode. I do obviously have a view of public education that's more than just informed by my role as city attorney, because as we've talked about, I'm also in the state legislature. And I think what you see coming to a head, and if I want to, I'll pinpoint one issue that this state has to address that affects every single school district, but disproportionately impacts the Milwaukee Public School, which is how much money does the state of Wisconsin give back for services provided to children receiving special education? And the way this is structured is that the federal government requires school districts to spend no less in 2024 educating students with special needs than they did in 2023. That's a good law to protect those students, to ensure school districts are not, you know, othering those students and are providing them with world-class education that they deserve. The state gives 33 cents on the dollar in reimbursement. So every school district in the state is moving money from their general aid to cover that gap. Why it disproportionately impacts the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee Public Schools is the percent of students within MPS that have that individual education plan that qualify, you know, for this, it is nearly one in every four. So the size of that gap is bigger than anywhere else in the state. And that has been a failure of the legislature to properly act. And you're seeing record referendum. We had one on the ballot back in April for Milwaukee. You're going to see a record number in November. And one of the structural problems that impacts everyone statewide is this special education reimbursement, but Milwaukee disproportionately so, because we have become a district with, you know, this really high percentage. Does that make sense, Mark? I mean, that's my number one thing. If you ask me that's me as a legislator, not a city attorney.
Yeah, but let me just follow up on that. You said you work with a network of municipal lawyers. Are there discussions going on throughout the state about whether or not municipalities could actually sue the state and raise constitutional challenges?
Yeah. That's the next extension of this.
That's where we're going.
I have not. Yeah, and there have been in the past. There is a history of our state constitution. Constitution of the state of Wisconsin requires the legislature. It doesn't empower them. It mandates that the state fund education. I don't have the magic words in front of me, but there's a you know, it's as equal or, you know, to, yeah. You know, that there's some magic constitutional language that's been with us since our founding that has been challenged before. And I think that we're reaching that breaking point. And I think the breaking point is on the special education issue that that I talked about. The last major, you know, kind of statewide funding formula challenges really involved the adoption and proliferation of the parental choice program or voucher schools and how that second other system impacted the public school systems. Those challenges were not successful, narrowly not successful, but not successful. And so it's been 20 some years since the Vincent V. Voigt case, which is really kind of this landmark case about education funding in Wisconsin and the voucher system. And, you know, I need my client to go tell me to do it, but you know, I am excited for the prospect of being a part of that challenge because there are deep, deep inequities in our in what school districts are funded. And a lot of that root is what we were talking about earlier with special education.
So the and I do appreciate the relationship in terms of that the city attorney isn't the primary policymaker, but the city attorney in Milwaukee has a much, much bigger impact than many city attorneys or municipal lawyers around the state, just by its charter and
right.
and the complexity of the issues. But we have a new Supreme Court majority. And so the reason I throw it out there, because it, you know, my wife was a public school teacher, vice principal, MPS, her whole working life. My kids, you know, graduated from Rufus King. I have seen how the public education system has been attacked and money diverted. And it really is, it's become profoundly unfair for public schools and kids in Milwaukee. I mean, if you compare it to Arrowhead, there are huge, very successful public schools outside the city where the funding, you can just see the disparities. So I guess I throw it out there as a host. Yeah, I'd love to have you back and where you can outline.
We could do a deep dive on that. I would say I wouldn't envision a statewide challenge going forward without our help, but I also don't envision a statewide challenge going forward alone.
Of course.
Because this is the coalition of potential plaintiffs in that lawsuit that would be compiled would be really compelling to any court that gives a damn about probably the majority of public school children. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of kids that are impacted by this.
So let me just throw out another issue that I think has statewide impact, but as well as Milwaukee. And We have these PFAS that are messing with the water quality statewide and also in Milwaukee.
Right.
You're now in the driver's seat looking at some of those legal challenges. You left the legislature where we've got money sitting there that just joint finance hasn't released to the communities. What can the city attorney in Milwaukee do in that arena, if anything?
It's a great question, Mark. I don't know at the point that we're having this conversation, I don't think we're locked and loaded with a challenge that I can identify off the top of my head. And one of the, you know, part of what we're talking about and what you're getting at is that the law can be an avenue when the political structures fail, right? Which is this is what we're talking about is the failure of the legislature to act in the best interest of the people. And what happens? What recourse do we have when that's the case? And the courts are a recourse. So I don't have anything locked and loaded. I know other municipalities like La Crosse and Wausau have been further down that pipeline. I shouldn't say pipeline maybe, but they've been further down the investigation of that litigation. And certainly we have, and, you know, I'm open to it. I think it's a right that you be able to turn on that tap and have safe drinking water. We've been consumed with the issue of lead, which is a different, you know, but also critically important issue. So yeah, I mean, I hope in November we solve the political problem and we don't have to stand up in the Supreme Court because we have a legislature that's willing to actually do the right thing. But something we're certainly open to.
So on that, in quotes, political problem, we'll come back to that because I do want to wind up the show on sort of.
Yeah, let's look forward to November. Yeah,
where we're absolutely going short term, but I think it's important for people to get a feel of, you know, using your words, the breadth of the issues the city attorney faces and the opportunities created. One issue that is going to be right on your plate relates to the Republicans, their attack on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, in the last budget rounds. How do you see that playing out in Milwaukee, and where on your list of to-dos is that?
Yeah, I would say even further than just, you know, the UW system and kind of some saber rattling about that in state government. The city of Milwaukee was directly impacted through a law passed about a year ago that what we call Act 12, often called the Shared Revenue Bill, which did change how the states fund local government and gave the city of Milwaukee the power for a local option sales tax to address some of our long-term liabilities. And in that bill, it specifically says now in state law that we cannot use our own funds for those positions, for DEI positions. And you can imagine as the only, if maybe one of a handful, if not the only majority minority city, with the most diverse city council in history, are exploring, and we are actively exploring that. I would say on this show, it's too early for me to tell exactly when you're going to hear from us, but I bet you that you do in the near future.
Thank you, Evan Goyke. Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We'll be back with our new city attorney in Milwaukee, Evan Goyke.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am honored and privileged to have Milwaukee's new city attorney, Evan Goyke, with us. And we're really talking about how the city attorney can be play a role in growing the economy, creating opportunities for everybody. We're just touch base in terms of the last round of attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion statewide and in Milwaukee. But I want to get to, we got major elections in November that statewide and nationally. You're in the assembly. You're going to be giving up your seat.
Right.
In the assembly. But let's just start there. How do you see this, the redistricting, the new maps, and how is that going to play out in terms of changes in Madison that are going to help Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's a great question. Let me zoom back out a little bit, because I've served through Walker and Evers, and you really started to see a big change in 18, you know, 19 after Evers wins his first election. And to be honest, in 19 and 20, the Republicans were really united. We're going to really stick it to Evers. And you've seen that kind of wane. Like, I'm pulling back the curtain. Like, what it's like to be in the halls of the state capitol as a legislative Democrat has changed each year that Evers has been there. And what the last couple of months have been is this very sad but totally enjoyable resign of the Republicans that a new day is coming. So what is going to happen? So, you know, fundamentally alters the makeup of the state legislature, because we no longer have some of the most partisan gerrymandered districts in the state of Wisconsin. It isn't just we replace R's with D's. It's also about how districts are drawn. So your question about Milwaukee, how does Milwaukee and its treatment differ from new maps? Well, there was, under the partisan gerrymander, an effort to pack as many Democratic districts as tightly as possible in the city of Milwaukee. That diminished the number of seats that the city had a direct touch to, that reduced the number of representatives that talked to the mayor, the city council, the public school district, public transit, et cetera. And what we've seen is now the metro Milwaukee into the suburban communities of Milwaukee County and into the edges of Ozaukee, Washington, Washington County specifically, a little less about Racine, but close, is this kind of spread and districts that touch a little bit of more communities. And what it does, Mark, fundamentally changes how those representatives look at the communities they represent. Yes, that means likely more Democrats in Metro Milwaukee, which hopefully means more listening to the Democratic-leaning local elected officials in Milwaukee like me. But it also just pulls back this like iron red curtain that existed for a long time at the city border, that separation, that otherness that has existed between Milwaukee and its suburbs, and a unification of communities like Shorewood, Whitefish Bay, Brown Deer, Wauwatosa, Oak Creek, West Dallas. Well, now all of a sudden we're talking about 800,000 people working on an issue instead of 600,000. And that might seem like a trivial difference to some, but I can tell you, as somebody that's been in the halls for 12 years, it's a big damn difference when you have these other jurisdictions kind of sharing and rowing the boat in the same direction, not attacking Milwaukee, because those local leaders are talking to their reps and understanding how our fates are shared.
So are you optimistic that with these new maps, we're going to have actual changes in Madison?
Cautiously optimistic, yes. I will say a narrow majority. So let's say right now the Republicans are up 12 or 13 in the assembly, something like that. A number high enough that it's really hard to get to work across the aisle. Let's say that number goes down to 3 or 4 or 2. You have a lot more working across the aisle, right? There's a much easier chance to get to 50. There's a lot more pressure on the majority party to work across the aisle. So that's a cultural change for the better, even if the current majority stays in the majority. Now, I have some concern, because sometimes that tight number results in discipline from that majority, right? Okay, we can't lose two people, so we're all on the same team. But I think on the day-to-day operation and culture of the legislature, it is fundamentally improved for the better in November. And then the last thing I'll say on that is also up is the leadership, the current leadership of those Republican caucuses. And Mr. Voss, the long-term speaker for the Assembly Republicans, runs his caucus with a very tight authoritarian grip and really prevents a lot of bipartisanship. So let's say the new cast of characters results in him going away through, you know, losing an election to speaker, an indictment, a recall, whatever, I don't care. Then like the entire culture of the legislature shifts and it really is a new day. So it's kind of incremental in a bit, but, you know, I'm optimistic.
So we got a couple of minutes here left. What can the city attorney do, or what role do you see your office in terms of voter registration, voter participation, voter activity in Milwaukee? Is there a role for,
you know, we have historically not participated on the front end like that in terms of, you know, engaging in efforts to draw turnout. We are and provide legal counsel to our local elections commission, and we are assembling, we have a team, we're increasing the size of that team to prepare for November. And really our focus is to make sure that everything goes correctly again, and that we are prepared for the repeat of 2020, where, you know, outside interests want to cause chaos and file frivolous lawsuits. You saw a PolitiFact in today's online Journal Sentinel about a false claim about printing ballots. We will be ready to fight tooth and nail all of those false claims that may come, and make sure that November is run smoothly again.
Here, I just throw this out. You know, I'm on the Elections Commission statewide. A lot of local folks have been attacked. In 10 seconds, what are you doing to protect our, the folks that run elections?
Yeah, we will have their back to make sure we're ready to go to court should they ever get, you know, those attacks move forward.
Folks, the new city attorney of Milwaukee, Evan Goyke, you heard him. He's got your back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday's Best of Up North News Radio, having to bail our fast-growing lawns, and how people who differ on abortion can have civil conversations.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
Gary's Coins of Wisconsin Rapids would like to take time to thank area veterans for their military service and sacrifice. Gary's Coins provides a full range of investment and collector products, and they want to wish everyone a happy Memorial Day.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The nation is paying tribute on Memorial Day to those who died in service to the country. On the National Mall, the World War II Memorial and Memorial Day observance was earlier today, and veterans placed wreaths at the Freedom Wall there in remembrance of the more than 400,000 who died during that conflict. This is also the unofficial beginning of summer, and tens of millions are heading out of town. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Most Americans, an estimated 38.4 million, will drive. Mary Harrison is road tripping with her husband, her sister, and their five young kids from Georgia to Pennsylvania.
We are having to drive through D.C., so we're going to hit some traffic, but we're ready for it.
We mentally prepared ourselves.
But at least those driving and the thousands of planes in the air will be able to get gasoline.
44 million Americans are expected to travel this weekend, making it the busiest Memorial Day in 20 years. 38 million will go by personal vehicle. John LaForge with Wells Fargo says gasoline prices are a little bit higher this weekend than they were a year ago, but there are no issues with supply. He also says a recent Biden administration announcement to release more than 1 million barrels of gasoline over a six-week period probably won't impact prices that much.
You're talking, when you do the math, it's something equivalent to less than half a day's supply.
Dan Ronan for CBS News, Washington.
Turning now.